In this corner, in top fighting form, coming to you every Monday through Friday at this time in thrilling action-packed stories, America's number one hero, world's champion of boxing and of fair play, from Ham Fisher's famous comic strip, Joe Palooka. In the attempt to clear Joe Palooka of accusations involving him in a gambling fraud with Blackie Ballinger and his gang, Myrtle Hossenslofer goes out on a date with one of Blackie's boys. The date has turned into a disaster for her and Al because Blackie believes that Al has told Myrtle what's happened to Joe Palooka. To make certain the story will go no further, Blackie has decided to get rid of both of them. In our last episode, Al and Myrtle tried to escape from Blackie. Now, in just a minute, we'll present Shots in the Night, the next episode of Joe Palooka. But first... Now, episode 23, Shots in the Night. We rejoin Al and Myrtle now in the parking lot in back of Blackie Ballinger's nightclub.
Start that truck over there. We want to have plenty of noise so that people inside won't hear the shots.
Oh, no, don't, Blackie.
Oh, please.
You talk too much, Al. It's dangerous to let you and your girlfriend stick around here anymore.
Oh, no, please don't, Blackie. She didn't do anything. No!
Al, are you shot?
No, I don't think so. Are you? Oh, let me shut this motor off.
Michael, where are you?
Jerry, here, over here. Oh, Jerry.
Well, finally, she's glad to see me.
Where's Blackie and that other crook I took a shot at? I think I winged one of them.
They must have gone toward the back. Blackie has his car there.
There they go. They're getting away. Come on, get in the car, Jerry.
No, I'll wait here. I want to see that they still are taken care of.
Well, okay. Come on, boys, after them.
Gee, it's good to see you, Jerry. I never knew I'd be so happy to see you.
Me too, fella, even though I don't know you. Say, who are you?
Oh, Jerry, this is my boyfriend. I mean, Al, this is my boyfriend, Jerry Leamy.
Hey, what goes on here?
Oh, it don't make much difference. Just so you arrived in time. And, brother, you certainly did that. Thanks.
Oh, yeah, Jerry, thanks. But how? Where? Who? I mean, the police and...
Police? Were those cops?
Well, of course those were cops, Al. I thought it was Blackie shooting at us, but it was the cops shooting at Blackie.
That's right. Heck, I wasn't going to tackle this thing alone, you know.
What do you mean, tackle it alone? How on earth did you know?
Well, Nobby called me after you left and told me to go out and do some investigating on my own.
Oh, that's why when I called, there was no answer. I managed to get to a phone after Blackie picked us up, and I was never so heartbroken in my life as when you didn't answer. Jerry, I could have wrung your neck.
You could, all right. I was right outside, believe it or not, when you called me at the office. I was in Blackie's nightclub here getting the cops to come over.
But what were you doing here, Jerry?
Well, Nobby wanted me to go around to all the gambling places to find out how much money had been bet on Al Wilson to go the limit in his fight with Joe. Well, Blackie's place here happened to be one of the gambling places. And when I came here to check up, well, I saw you with this guy here, and, well, I didn't want to say anything, but I don't especially like the idea of Myrtle going out with any other guys. But there wasn't much I could do then, but when I saw that big lug come up to the two of you, it looked pretty much as if he had a gun and wasn't afraid to use it. And when I saw him sort of make you go into the back room, I thought, Jerry, my boy... You better do something. But when I thought of something to do, I figured I'd just be a dead hero if I tried to do it alone. So I called the cops, and so that's all there was to it.
Oh, Jerry, darling. Oh, I could just kiss you.
Well, what's stopping you?
Maybe I better be going.
Oh, no. No, Al, you can't go.
Sure he can. So long, Al.
No, Jerry. Don't you see the Boxing Commission investigation is the day after tomorrow. And if Al will just tell them what he told me,
No, I couldn't. Well, it's no use. I'm too involved in this thing.
Oh, but Al, I'm sure that we can get you off with a suspended sentence or nothing at all. Because, you've really done more than anyone to straighten this out.
Yeah, but I'm just a dirty crook, Myrtle. I'm not a good guy.
Oh, that isn't so, Al Klutzbottom. You are so a good guy. Ain't he, Jerry?
Huh? Yeah, I guess he's a good guy after all. Sure, sure, you're a good guy, Al.
It's no use. I just can't go and talk to this boxing commission. It's no use. Well, okay. I'll do it if what you say is so. Maybe I better, huh?
Your full name?
Alvin Klutzbottom.
What is your profession, Mr. Klutzbottom?
What is my what?
Your work. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I guess I kind of assist Mikey Bellinger in his activities.
You mean to sit here before this boxing commission and say that you are paid by Blackie Bellinger, the racketeer?
No, not anymore. Besides, Blackie's taking sort of a vacation. He don't seem to be in the business anymore.
You mean the police haven't caught him as yet?
Well, I don't think Blackie would want me around much anymore.
But you were in the employ of Blackie Bellinger.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Gentlemen, investigation by Jerry Leamy and Nobby Walsh shows that actually very little money, if any, was bet on Al Wilson to go the 15 rounds with Joe Palooka. Now, Frank Hopper, the sports writer, has said that Joe Palooka carried the fight for Blackie Bellinger and his gambling ring. However, we find that Blackie Bellinger and his gambling ring did not bet any money on the fight to go the limit. Therefore, this whole accusation might have been manufactured without any real factual basis for it. Now, Mr. Klutzbottom, do you have any knowledge as to whether or not this is true?
Blackie never bet on Al Wilson to last the limit. Joe Palooka never even talked to Blackie before the fight. Joe Palooka doesn't even know Blackie.
But why would Blackie Bellinger say that Joe Palooka carried the fight for him if he didn't?
I don't know. I don't know how Blackie thinks. Maybe he just wanted to get Joe Palooka out of the way, like he said once.
What do you mean, out of the way?
Well, Blackie used to say that Joe Palooka's conduct was stopping him from making a lot of dough. He figured that, he could do a lot better in this gambling racket if guys like Joe Palooka wasn't around because, he was a model for others. And I don't know, he just wanted to get rid of the guy. Hey, if you were a crooked gambler and bet on fights, would you want a guy like Joe Palooka around?
Well, no, I guess I wouldn't.
Well, there you are.
Then you mean Blackie Bellinger saw his chance to frame Joe Palooka just by letting that Joe had worked with him?
Yeah, that's right. The whole thing was a frame-up, and the public and the newspaper writers bit hook, line, and sinker. Blackie never had any money bet that Joe Palooka would carry the fight for 15 rounds. Blackie didn't even expect the fight to go 15 rounds. But after it did, Blackie trumped up this story.
I have a question to ask the witness, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner?
All that this man says may be true, but that still doesn't account for the fact that the fight did go the limit.
I think that the testimony of Al Wilson, which will follow after this questioning, will answer that, Mr. Commissioner.
Well, I'll wait for Al Wilson's story on that. But I still want to know why Joe Palooka ran out. If he had absolutely no connection with Blackie Ballinger and his gambling ring, as this man puts it. And incidentally, I don't believe this man's testimony is too reliable.
Do you care to answer the commissioner's question, Mr. Klutzbottom? Why did Joe Palooka disappear if he wasn't involved in this gambling deal?
Oh, very simple. Because the night of the fight, Rock and I hit him over the head and got rid of him.
Do you know what you are saying?
Sure, I know what I'm saying. Blackie wanted it to seem that Joe Palooka ran out so it would look like he was mixed up in this gambling thing. Blackie said that we had to get rid of Palooka for a couple of days. The only thing was, it didn't work out that way.
What do you mean, it didn't work out that way?
Well, the plan was for us to follow Palooka right after the fight. He was feeling pretty bad because he started wandering around. Ended up in this little beanery on 10th Avenue. We followed him out of there. Oh, Pete Hansen can tell you that. Anyhow, we followed Palooka out and we're going to hit him on the head. We did hit him on the head. And we were going to dump him in an empty freight car. And we did that, too. Only it wasn't an empty freight car. It was a refrigerator car.
A refrigerator car? You mean that you put Joe Palooka into a refrigerator car? Did the train pull out?
Yeah. Yeah, the train pulled out. Oh, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I think you'd better talk about this, Mr. Klutzbottom. You mean that because of what you did, Joe Palooka may have been frozen to death?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he could have been. Only they haven't found the body. You'd think they'd found the body by now.
There isn't any more that I have to say to Mr. Klotzbottom, gentlemen. I think the truth in this matter is very obvious. I think that we have all been partners in a crime. A terrible crime. Which may have cost Joe Palooka his life. Unless anyone else has anything to add, I feel that there is nothing more to say.
In just a minute, we'll tell you about our next episode of Joe Palooka. But first, still to be accounted for is the fact that Joe's first championship fight did last 15 rounds. So don't miss Al Wilson's story, the next exciting episode in the thrilling story of
the winner and still world champion, Joe Palooka!